The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
You may be seated. Sometime this past fall, our youngest son, Josiah, began to sing this little tune. And I can't get it out of my head. He would sing it this way. Breberty, 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 breberty. You recognize this? You have likely heard some form of it. It is the jingle, well, it's his version of the jingle, for Liberty Mutual Insurance Company. It goes, Liberty, 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 Liberty. You know this song, probably. You've heard it many times. And while the insurance company promises liberty, that is freedom, and certainly there's a place for insurance in this old world, Isaiah, when he speaks of liberty for the captives, is talking about something altogether greater and more helpful than insurance in the event of an accident. He's talking about an absolute promise of salvation. And this promise may come to you in a surprising way. There's something of a great reversal at play in Isaiah, and we get used to this perhaps in the season of Advent and Christmas. We hear it in Isaiah this morning and from Jesus. It is that those who are on the bottom will be coming to the top, and those who are on top will be brought down. And so it is for you. You who have come up short in life. For you who don't have it all figured out yet. For you who just keep messing up one way or another. For you who still need salvation today. True liberty has come. You are forgiven your sins. And now, as Isaiah describes, you are oak trees. When you've heard this word fulfilled in your hearing, you are oak trees of God's righteousness. Not easily moved. Amen. When we last heard from Isaiah, it was 4 weeks ago. He had been silenced with a hot coal to the lips, but he was not left to stay this way. He was silenced so that all the messages that he might have thought were important and relevant for the people in that day were taken from him. And so that all he had left was God's word for the people, even though they maybe didn't even want to hear it. In many cases, they didn't. Because Isaiah calls them out. If you read through the book, he calls them out for their idolatry, for their lack of faith, for their putting their faith in all sorts of things, like their self-righteousness, their ideas of what were right ahead of God. Yet Isaiah now, once silenced and now speaking freely, preached on. And this week we are treated to one of those prophecies that Jesus picks up in the synagogue and reads and says, now, this is me. I have fulfilled this scripture in your very hearing. Jesus read, as we have heard, the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prison to those who are bound. Those who are low will be brought up. The gospel comes in a surprising way, perhaps to surprising people. Now, right off the bat, the scripture has something to tell us. First, and this may come as a surprise, is that the poor get good news. Well, that might not seem like the first thing we should give the poor. But this is what Isaiah and Jesus say. What do they really need deep down? Well, Jesus says it is good news. The gospel of Jesus is the treasure of humanity, the absolute treasure of what we have. So let's share this. May this guide our giving as we hear about and encounter those in need these days. Yes, material goods are helpful. They are necessary, in fact, for survival. And we must give these. But may our giving not just be for life today, but may it support the ministry of the preaching of the gospel of Christ, which is life eternal. Even in a world that maybe doesn't want to hear it, as this prophecy of Jesus describes, for Jesus, after saying he's the fulfillment of this prophecy is almost thrown off a cliff by his own hometown. But there's something else here for us as well. We ought to be about the work of the good news of Christ, that is true. But there's something else. When we think we have all the answers and a better solution comes around in life, we often don't hear it or pay attention. Yet those who know they have nothing, as Isaiah and Jesus say, the poor or the oppressed, when something better comes along, they are truly grateful. God's grace has a way of working this way. It comes to those who know their need for forgiveness, who know they need a new start in life, and it seems to fly right over the heads of the self-righteous, those who are content in themselves. Flannery O'Connor wrote stories that pointed to the truth of this in her own context, and that context was the American South in the 40s and 50s, Georgia to be specific. In one of her short stories, Revelation, the main character's name is Mrs. Turpin, and the story starts out with her at the doctor's office. Her husband needs to see the doctor, and she is in the waiting room. Now, Mrs. Turpin is well thought of in her town and by her own self. She helps those in need. She knows all the manners, the proper ways of behaving in society. She's not rich, but she has enough, and she's quite happy with this. She begins to look around the waiting room and sees all sorts of people. People who are dirty. People who are a different race than herself. People who don't behave the way she thinks they should behave, and she begins to give thanks. She, in a conversation with someone next to her, begins to thank God that she has been given what she has. She's always had a little of everything, she says. And she's always helped everybody in need, no matter who they were. And she's thankful that God has given her a good disposition, as opposed to those around her who don't know how to behave. The story continues with Mrs. Turpin's self-righteous dealings, and there are a few surprises in this short story, but it ends as she has gone home and is working around their house, and she has a vision. Flannery O'Connor writes this: a visionary light settled in her eyes. She saw the streak as a vast swinging bridge extending upward from earth through a field of living fire. Upon it, a vast horde of souls were rumbling toward heaven. There were whole companies of white trash, clean for the first time in their lives, and bands of black African Americans in white robes, and battalions of freaks and lunatics shouting and clapping and leaping like frogs. And bringing up the end of the procession was a tribe of people whom she recognized at once, as though who, like herself and Claude, her husband, had always had a little of everything and the God-given wit to use it right. She leaned forward to observe them closer. They were marching behind the others with great dignity, accountable as they had always been for good order and common sense and respectable behavior. They alone were singing on key. Yet she could see by their shocked and altered faces that even their virtues were being burned away. She lowered her hands and gripped the rail of the hog pen, her eyes small but fixed unblinkingly on what lay ahead. In a moment, the vision faded, but she remained where she was, immobile. At length, she got down and turned off the faucet and made her slow way on the darkening path to the house. In the woods around her, the invisible cricket chorus had struck up, but what she heard were the voices of the souls climbing upward into the starry field and shouting, "Hallelujah!" From Isaiah to Jesus, from the words of Flannery O'Connor, those who think they have no need of salvation, those who think they have it all figured out, they are the most in need of Christ and his grace. And isn't it funny how grace enters our lives when we're at the end of ourselves when we realize we don't have it figured out. That is why the gospel is good news for the poor. It accomplishes not brevity, but liberty for the captives. No matter who you are, no matter what you do, no matter how much you give or how great your disposition, as Mrs. Turpin observed, Jesus has come. Jesus has come for those who need him most, which means he has come for you. And there is great hope in that. Amen. I invite you to stand as you are able as we sing our hymn of the day. Amen.